Hello, gluttoneers. Welcome back to another episode of High Gluttony. I'm doing something I can't believe I've never thought of doing before as part of the podcast. Mostly just because it's something I love. Soba noodles, which are in the noodle variety of things that I also love to death. It's a little bit shameful, gotta say. And I can't believe it took me buying buckwheat flour with no purpose to think, gee, what should I do with this buckwheat flour? Make soba noodles. Guess what? They've got a good iron content. Yay! Where do we begin? Today I am drinking, being a nice sober girly, having a pickled plum sparkling water. Basically using some plum pickling juice. And I threw a plum in there just for a bit of garnish and a snack later. It's a nice spiced plum pickle that I made. And it does make a delicious drink that's a little bit on the sour side. And we all know I am an absolute acid queen. So it's just kind of my favorite. I'm going to be smoking a little bit of Blue Dream and a lot of CBD on top of that. The Blue Dream is from Pacific Stone, and the CBD comes from Pure Beauty. I took it out of one of their Pure Beauty CBD joints. So let's spark that puppy up, and then we'll get into what is buckwheat and why is it so good. Okay, so let's talk about buckwheat. I know we've mentioned buckwheat peripherally on this podcast, as it is a relative of sorrel and rhubarb, one of my favorite things, rhubarb. Probably don't use enough sorrel, but I get a little weird about sorrel because it is an odd thing to use, but technically it's not really a grain. It's used as a grain, but it is a seed. I know it gets a little hairy about what's a grain, what's a seed. Grains come from grasses. This is not a grass. This is a different sort of plant. Don't ask me about the taxonomy of that. I'm not going to get into that right now. One of its well-known products is actually its honey, which I meant to look for at the store today but forgot. It's darker than most other honeys and is quote-unquote uniquely flavored. I bought some chestnut honey not that long ago, which is also uniquely flavored. Probably also quite dark. Can't remember right now. Maybe it has a similar flavor to that. I don't know. We'll be looking for that honey in the future to see what it tastes like. It is a good substitute for people who are gluten intolerant because it is not in the grain family and does not contain gluten. The one drawback is it is a strong flavor. Usually has to be mellowed or balanced in some way because it can be bitter. Although roasting, it does seem to be one of the best ways to counteract that. I actually have a type of buckwheat growing in my yard. I bought this one because it is got a very sweet little yellow flower that I absolutely love. And it is starting to spread throughout my yard, which I'm very excited about. So hopefully it continues to do that. And then immediately, as soon as I was thinking about that this morning, I went on to one of my favorite plant websites, Annie's Annuals and Perennials, and started looking for what other buckwheats they have. So they do flower. They've got some red flowering ones. They've got some white flowering ones. There's a different California native that it's, I guess maybe somewhat related, but not quite the same, that I'm also interested in, but that doesn't really apply here. Hopefully someday, maybe it is edible. I don't actually know. I don't have enough of plants to be harvesting anything out of this at this point. We'll see. But since I just can't get over not having Becca here. Might have to have her guest on some episodes. We'll see. Now you can make soba noodles entirely out of buckwheat flour, but you usually need specialty equipment to do it and it can dry out a lot faster. I don't know why. I didn't look into it. So sorry. But I'm very excited about this because I love soba noodles. I love them so much. I did come across a few different things that mentioned that you need a specific type of flour. I'm really hoping that I have the correct flour, because one of the flours I bought was from the Indian store I went to a few weeks ago when I was buying the flour for the Papanoms, and the other one is Bob's Red Mill buckwheat flour, which was not necessarily recommended. We're going to be hopeful that I have the right thing, but prepare ourselves for potential disaster because I do not have the correct thing. And we are going to be using a bit of all-purpose flour in there to hold the noodles together and make sure it just is not that complicated. So this is, they refer to this as Nihachi noodles. I hope I'm getting that right. I couldn't quite find a pronunciation guide for this online. Hopefully I'm not messing that up because soba noodles are traditionally Japanese. I realize I don't have a single Japanese cookbook, which is just sad. But in my research, I did come across, apparently, the most authoritative person on Japanese cooking, at least according to the U.S., Sonoko Sakai. And because the two recipes I picked out, because I thought they appeared to be the most authentic, are both her recipes. One of them is from Savour, which is not necessarily the one I'm using, but it is pretty much identical to the recipe I am using, which is from the kitchen. The only thing is that the recipe in Savour had a weird technique that they didn't show any pictures or anything like that for. So I'm just disregarding that instruction because I cannot quite picture what it would look like because it seems like just kneading it is fine. So hopefully that's correct. So I am using the recipe from the kitchen, which is, you know, kitchen without an E at the end. And let's just dive right into the ingredients because I haven't measured anything yet. I'm going to do a time-lapse capture of doing the entire kneading process today. The whole process from front, start to finish. Because this is one of those few noodle recipes that's not like you have to rest it for a certain amount of time. Like ramen noodles, you have to rest overnight. Pretty much any other noodle that I've made that's wheat flour needs to rest for about 30 minutes. But I suspect because we are using mostly buckwheat flour that doesn't have that gluten component, we aren't resting these noodles today. So it's going to kind of be a straight shot all the way through, one take from measure to cutting. There will be a short recess while I get all my pasta machine stuff set up. So we'll time jump there. But for the most part, this recording will be one straight shot through. Let's start with the recipe. So our ingredients are, and it did say that weighing things is going to be better, but I will give you the measures. Starting with the buckwheat flour. So we get 2 generous cups of buckwheat flour. Their recommendation from the kitchen is Anson Mills or Cold Mountain. 1/2 generous cup of all-purpose flour, 3/4 of a cup filtered or mineral water, and then you need buckwheat starch or tapioca starch for rolling out the noodles. I'm probably just going to use buckwheat, simply because I don't think I got the other kind out. I am going to be using my pasta machine roller on the KitchenAid to roll these out, just to save my hands a little bit, because I know the kneading process is going to get me. And I do. I like kneading the needles by hand. It's always my preference. Steps all the way through to cooking. Let me take a quick sip of my plum soda. Step 1, combine the flours, weigh the 2 flours, sift them through a strainer into a large mixing bowl. Measure the water and pour over the flours. Step 3, knead until a crumbly dough is formed. Work the flours and the water together with your hands, then knead in the bowl until it comes together into a rough, and slightly crumbly dough. If the dough feels dry or you can still see dry flour after a few minutes of kneading, add flour. 1 tablespoon at a time until all the flour is integrated. Conversely, if the dough feels very wet or sticky, add all-purpose flour 1 tablespoon at a time until it becomes a workable dough. Side note, hopefully I won't get too far off here. This was one of the few recipes that was a little bit more like you are going to have to spend time balancing this because humidity affects it, the weather affects it, temperature affects it. this recipe gave wiggle room, which I love. I love a recipe where they're like, be realistic. It needs a little wiggle room. I wish the Papa Dom recipe I was using yesterday had a, this is how much water it might take. Because I feel like it wasn't quite right. More research needed on the Papa Dom thing, but at least this recipe is like, your humidity is going to change your dough. Please, please, please notice that you are going to either need more water or more flour, depending on where you are and what the weather is. Step 4, turn the dough out onto the counter. Continue kneading until it holds together easily, does not crack while kneading, and becomes smooth. You may need to add more flour at this point. The dough will be very dense. Use all your strength. Step 5, shape the dough into a pointed cone like a mountain peak. Press straight down on the peak with your palm of your hand, squishing it into a disc about half an inch thick. The bottom should be very smooth. This helps ensure the dough is even and uniform before rolling. I am going to read through the rolling out of the dough as described in here, but this is not how I'm going to do it. Just note that. Step 6. Sprinkle the counter with a little starch and place the dough on top. Sprinkle the top of the dough and the rolling pin with the starch you are using. So this is either the buckwheat flour or the tapioca starch. Begin rolling out the dough. Work from the center of the dough outward in long, even strokes. Gently tap the edges of the dough with your rolling pin to shape them into straight lines as you roll. And this recipe is even from somebody that took one of Sunoco's classes. Gently tap the edges of your dough with a rolling pin to shape them into straight lines as you roll, gradually shaping the dough into as close a rectangular shape as you can make it. Use more starch as needed to prevent sticking. Continue to roll the dough out into a rectangle longer than it is wide and 1/16 of an inch to 1/8 of an inch thick. As thin as possible! Exclamation point. It's okay to move it around on the counter and flip it over as needed. Keep in mind that the vertical width of your dough will be the length of the final soba noodles. Step 7, next step is folding the dough in order to make it easier to cut into straight, thin noodles. Spread a generous handful of starch over half the dough. Fold the dough in half, closing it like a book. Spread the bottom of the dough with more starch and fold the top down. Spread the starch over the entire surface of the dough and fold the top down again. You should end up with a tidy rectangular package. I think this is just really cutting the, like, kind of making it into a roll more than, but you're folding it. You could roll it and slice it, but folding it is probably better because then you do get the starch intermixed, maybe? I don't know. But you could just dust it generously and then roll it up, folding, whatever. Folding's fine. Step 8, slice the soba. Place a pastry scraper, ruler, or other thin, flat utensil over the top of your chef's. Step 8, slice the soba. Pastry scraper, ruler, or other thin, flat utensil over the top of the folded dough. You will use this as a guide in cutting your noodles. Using your chef's knife, begin cutting the noodles in 1/16 inch or 1/8 inch thick, same thickness as your dough. Move the pastry scraper back with every cut to help you cut the noodles with an even thickness. Toss the cut noodles with a little more starch to prevent sticking. Cook or freeze the soba within a few hours. So at this point, you can freeze these up to 3 months. It does say thaw in the fridge before cooking. Step 9, set a strainer in your sink. Fill a large bowl with cold water and ice cubes and set this near the sink. You're blanching and shocking your noodles. This does help with soba noodles because they have a tendency to be much stickier than even wheat noodles. It's pretty interesting to me. Bring a large pot of water to a boil, salt the water generously and drop in the soba. Cook for about 60 seconds, then drain through the strainer into the sink. Rinse thoroughly under cool water, lifting gently and shaking the soba until the cooking film is rinsed away. Immediately dunk the soba into the bowl of ice water. Immediately dunk the soba into the bowl of ice water. Drain and serve with dashi, soy sauce, and sesame oil, or use in any soba recipe. Ugh, now I'm just hungry, so I guess I better get on with it, because I want to eat some of these noodles right the fuck now. There's the recipe. I'm gonna move over to the kitchen and get started. So we are going to measure our ingredients first. And I do have a scale and was actually smart enough to use a clear bowl this time for once. We've got 9.5 ounces of buckwheat flour. Zero out again, and 2.5 ounces. And we need 6 ounces of water. And yeah, I'm being a little extra and fancy. I'm using aquapana. Little over, 6.1 ounces I've got measured out. And I'm gonna hold the bowl and the sifter together because otherwise I'm still gonna end up with some flour on the counter. That's fine. It's a lot less than I would have if I hadn't done that. Okay. We got a little bit of stuff in here from the buckwheat flour. Another recipe that does not include salt. Well, I have a feeling I'm going to be adding more flour. Should have made the papadoms today and the soba noodles yesterday because it actually rained this morning. Oh, on the package of my Bob's Red Mill Organic Buckwheat Flour, it does say to make soba noodles with it. So even if the people who write the recipes aren't thinking of Bob's Red Mill, Bob's Red Mill's thinking about soba noodles. Oh, we might just be on the money with the flour and the water here. I think I'm good to put it on the counter because I don't think I'm gonna need to add any more liquid. And if I do, it'll be in the way that I like to do it sometimes where I put it on my hands and then the dough. I think you could make this almost entirely on the counter, just as long as you were working in a little bit of the water at a time. Now we are on full-on kneading. You haven't guessed that by how quiet this is. It does appear to be pretty spot on for the proportions. And I guess I have underweighed. Yeah, I guess you could say that. I undervalued how much of a difference weighing your ingredients can make. It's taking quite the amount of time. It is getting a lot smoother. I've been doing this for at least 5 minutes. Still cracking a bit. Kneading and kneading and kneading some more. Really interesting. The color and the appearance of it is just like wet sand. It has a bit of a purpley hue. I feel like I'm getting more cracking, not less cracking at this point. Oh, I mean, it's just, I think I've done it. I'm gonna call it good. Now comes the shaping into a cone. So I'm rolling this out, really, I think what I'm gonna do is just roll this out a little bit further, then slice it in half and put it through the pasta machine. So, here's my friend, the big ass knife. Got the pasta machine out. I've got it on its widest setting. And we're gonna turn this on and it will be loud. So I'll try to not talk through this part. But here we go. I'm gonna try something a little different because that did not work out great. Okay, so what happened is I tried to put it through the machine, didn't have it close enough to the width of the machine, and so I was trying to fold it and redo it. It didn't like that. I think you get once through the roller to get it to the right width, and then you have to just set it aside and make it ready to cut because it just can't handle. This isn't going to be a thin noodle. This is going to be a thicker cut noodle. So what I think I'm going to do, so I'm trimming the edges off of this. I am going to just go ahead and cut these two pieces that I've rolled out. And I'm going to let the other half of this dough just chill for a couple hours, possibly until later this evening, and see how that goes. Letting it sit and kind of hydrate for a while. Just, I don't know. I have a feeling that might do something, but I will let you know. Put a lid on that. Although this one, my second sheet where I already had learned a lesson, looks a lot better. Now I understand why it's advised to do this as a hand cut noodle. Since it is a little bit more finicky of a dough. Let's see. Yeah, I have a feeling my dough is slightly too dry. I got a lot of small endy pieces. Not pretty like store-bought noodles. But I am going to cook these. See how it goes. I gotta season my water. Boily, boily. I probably have just a smidge too small of a pot for even what I've already made here. So we're cooking. And it should be fairly quick, I think. Oh, okay. 60 seconds, which I probably almost hit by now. Don't boil over. I didn't get my ice bath down, but I just put it under cold water. So I think my noodles are too dry. They are pretty much just breaking apart. Yeah. Might need to cook them slightly longer. I might have messed that up. Not an overwhelming success here. I may be coming around to why there's a special flour you want. This one's a little gritty. Oh, that sounds bad, but it's not like I really mind it. Great, because that was my 1 minute. So nice when the pot actually puts the flame out for you. I'm gonna play with this a bit, come back to it in a few hours after it's had time to. What I think I'm going to do is put a little salted water on it. I don't think it definitely needs salt in the first part. Try it again. Knead it some more. But maybe I just didn't knead it long enough. Yeah. All right. Well, come back to this later. I will report back later. All right, gluttoniers. So here are my final thoughts on the soba noodles. I ended up making a second batch with the flour I purchased from the Indian store, and the texture was much nicer. So I have a feeling, yeah, this is one of those things where the flour really makes a difference. It has to be ground fine, otherwise it's going to be chalky. But also, this is not a type of noodle I think I will ever feel compelled to make it home again, because they pretty much just crumbled into shit on me, completely broke apart. I don't know if it was not enough kneading or not having a good concept of how the texture was supposed to be. I really just don't know, but store-bought is fine. Store-bought works well enough. I will not be inclined to do these again in the future either. Two failures in a row. I mean, not the failures, but two things that I don't have to do this. I can just buy store-bought and that's fine. Wonder if we'll hear all the dogs in the background. I have a lot of barky dogs right now. Anyway, off we go.